Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message, folks, God will forgive you. The scripture readings is going to be from Romans 6:23, Hebrews 9:14, and Psalms 103:12. But as always, before we go there, to give everybody a chance to get here and get a chance to know that we've started, I'm going to play a song this morning, Amazing Grace. It's a short version. It's by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. So I hope you enjoy it, and then when we come back, we'll do prayer. Thank you for being here. Praise God. Thank you for being here, folks. As I said, I want to be able to get the gospel out, but I always like to do a song in the morning, help us get in the spirit. God's good to us, and he has never once not been able to forgive us for anything we've done, and that was why I decided to do that message, because I look back and I see all the things that I've done in my own life and the things that I used to say. You know, like most people, oh, the day I walk in church, the building will fall down. We all know that's a lie. But I want you to understand, folks, that God is so good, and I mean this, he is so good, he'll forgive you no matter how bad that sin life of yours is. So don't ever let that get in your way. And keep on watching, folks, and keep on listening. Like the Bible says, you know, we're to look to the east for our Savior. This morning we have a bunch of prayer requests, some old ones, some new ones. I want to go through those. I have two unspoken requests. One is from Susan Barnes, her family. We're not related, but we're related in the Lord. she's got a lot of family members that need saving. She's got a lot of family members that aren't living close to the Lord. That much I do know, because we've had conversation. But she's asked for unspoken requests for family members. Joanne Burwell has asked for prayer requests, again, for an unspoken. Joanne lost her husband a while back. Said was a nice guy, good Christian man. He had a couple of daughters, and we just asked the Lord to watch over her and protect her and keep her safe. Sandy Washer is asking for continued prayer. For John, he's sick, he's not doing well, and then there's the issue between him and his wife having some issues there. I won't go into detail, I think they're kind of private, but they're having a lot of tough times between the two of them. The dog Jetta had surgery to remove the cancer. We asked for prayers for Jetta last week. She has cancer, and they've taken that out, so we're asking for continued prayer there. Continue to pray for Evan. He's a him and his anxiety. David Swan needs our prayers for his mental health and total stability. He's confused and dealing with liver issues, which I'm sure with the liver itself, if the liver is having problems, could cause all kinds of mental issues with the brain, because the liver is what clears out all of our impurities. And with those getting into our system, it's going to cause all kinds of havoc in the body. So please pray for him and the confusion that he's dealing with. For his family, for guidance to help him. Pray for Pastor Waterhouse. Pastor Waterhouse has health issues, bad health issues, but the man's a beacon of light, I'll tell you. I've met him and talked to him a couple of times. He's Sandy's pastor, great guy. Just pray for him for his health and the journey that he's going through with his cancer. Pray for his family. He's only been married to this wife now for a few years. I'm not sure exactly how many. We'll say five, okay? But his wife and him, they've known each other for a very long time, and she's going to have to deal with anything if anything happens to him. But please pray for her and pray for the rest of the family. Pray for Brenda. She was sick. She's back to work. From what I understand, she's doing a little better. Genty, battling cancer, lung cancer, and it's getting worse, and she doesn't want to go to hospice but needs to. And then pray for the families and the survivors and victims of that duck boat incident where the boat went in the water and sunk, and there were some people that had lost their lives, for the families of those and for those suffering and the survivors, Lord. I thank you for being here. Thank you for all that you'd provide by being here as witnesses for Christ. And use your voice today, folks, to lift him up, because today is the day the Lord has given us, and we should be praising him every day. Thank you for being here. This morning's message, as I said, we're starting out with Romans. What I did is I put together a message. I hope it comes across well for everyone. Doesn't matter, like I said, how rotten you are. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself. It doesn't matter what you've done as a person. Your life right now, starting today, should rely on the strength of Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, not what you do, because it's not what we do that gives us salvation. It's not what we do that gets us to heaven. It's what Jesus did, and only because of that, if we just accept him and accept the forgiveness of God and the mercy of God, can we get to heaven. The message I have for you is going to be, it's all based on pretty much the same thing I've always said. It's our sins and how we won't get to heaven if we don't do what God asks us to. But think about this. God's willing to forgive us. And I mean it, folks. I've done some things in this life that most people would not be able to deal with. And either one or two things, they'd still be out there in the world living the way they are because of their own guilt. Because that's what Satan does to us. He makes us live in our guilt of our past, and we never get to our future. Now, God forgives all our sin. The only sin God doesn't forgive is the sin where we won't accept the free gift. If we refuse the gift of salvation, if we've received Jesus Christ as our Savior and have said, I want you to be my Savior, I want to be forgiven, God's faithful and just and forgives us. If we don't do that, you can't be forgiven. And one other thing, people go around going, don't judge, it's judging. Judging others is wrong. The Bible says, lest ye be judged. But we are supposed to judge to a certain point. And we're supposed to judge righteously as God judges. God judges us with such righteous mercy that he says, I know you are a sinner. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And because of that, we're saved. Because of that right there, those that accept the free gift that Jesus is the Savior, those are the ones that get to go to heaven. Those are the ones that are truly forgiven. Because you know, Jesus was sinless. He died on the cross. He died for our sins. He didn't die to heal our sick bodies. He didn't die, and he didn't come here to heal our sick bodies. He didn't come here to baptize us. He came here to give us the free gift of forgiveness, the free gift of mercy, the free gift of salvation. As people, we feel guilty for our wrongs, so much so that it keeps us from trusting God's love and mercy. We refuse to attend church We make claims like, oh, the church will fall down, or I'm not good enough. How could God ever forgive me? Not once has a person who's seeking God's forgiveness walked into a church and the church collapsed, caught fire, or everybody ran out. Folks, God's waiting for you to accept his forgiveness. When you do that, when you're honest and you tell God, I want that free gift. I want to be forgiven. I'm sorry. I confess my sins. I want to change. He's faithful and just to do that for you folks. You may not change overnight. You may not change today. You may not change for years. You may get saved. You may accept the free gift and continue to make mistakes in your life. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't forgiven you. You're forgiven, folks, and the Bible says so. Now, I'm going to read you the scripture, Romans 6:23, and it says this. In Romans 6:23, it says, let me find my spot now because now I just lost it. I hit the wrong screen. I want to get it right. I don't want to make the mistake of getting it wrong here, folks. That's why I'm doing this. But bear with me. It's not that long. The message isn't that long today either, folks. There we go. Romans 3. Romans 6. Keep going, you'll get there. You know, the good thing about God is patient and just, and he'll always forgive us. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The eternal gift of life is through Jesus Christ. We don't get that gift if we don't accept it. For the wages of sin is death. We deserve death, folks. You know, every one of us deserves death. When they ate the apple, that caused man to die. In the Garden of Eden, before the apple was ever even touched, if they had listened to God and did not do that, we would have never known death. We'd be living forever. There'd be no death for us. The only reason there's death is because we disobey. We disobey God and we decide we're going to sin. That's why, like it says, for the wages of sin is death. We deserve our death. We deserve everything that happens to us when we're disobedient to the Lord. For the wages of sin is death. But, eternal life is through Jesus Christ. You may ask, how can God forgive me? After all the sins I've committed, after all the things I've done, why would any God, why would any want to forgive me being the sinner that I am? I know I asked that question. I've asked it 1,000 times if I've asked it once. But looking back at my past, I've also recalled saying, Father, just forgive me. I'd say, Lord, I can't deal with my life. And this not as a following Christian. This was as a worldly person. I can remember saying, just get me through this, God. Just get me through this misery, and I'll do this or I'll do that. God never left us. He's never forsaken us. And he doesn't say, okay, I'm going to bring these sins back up. He says, you are forgiven. We can't, in Hebrews 9:14, I was looking at something and reading at the same time, which is something I shouldn't be getting caught in doing, but check this out. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more? In other words, how much more does God have to do? He took his own son. He shed his blood on the cross. How much more can he do? He took an innocent person to take your place. In 15 it says this, for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, that's the Ten Commandments, they which are called might receive a promise, or the promise, of eternal inheritance. See, folks, back when the Ten Commandments were, there was no forgiveness for our sins. But God knew that we were so corrupt that we wouldn't follow him, that he sent Jesus here to explain the process, to be our forgiveness, and all we have to do is accept Jesus Christ. From that moment on, the minute you accept Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness, you're done. That's it. You're going to heaven. I know you're going to make mistakes. He says, look, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. All my sheep have gone astray, it says in the scriptures. And if that's true, then he also knew at some point we were going to make mistakes even after we got saved. God always invites to come to you. He'll always invite us to come to him. He says, listen, if you come to me, if you become mine, I am yours. And by doing that, it's just like being accepted into the wealthiest family in the world and given that inheritance, the riches and the glory of heaven. Anything here on this planet means nothing. You'll start to know that as a Christian. You start to realize down here everything is moth and rust corrupts it. The bugs will eat it. I was working in the wood pile this past week, cutting and splitting wood. As I'm going through it, I could see where the bugs have eaten through the wood. That's the same as our life. Our life here is the same thing. It starts to fall apart at some point. It starts to rot and decay. But our life in heaven never rots and decays. Never. We are a new creature in Christ waiting to go to heaven. The minute we start to realize how good God is to us, we realize we deserve nothing. We don't deserve to be alive. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve anything because of who we are. That's our own conscious knowing that. But guess what? The love of God lives in us and says, even though you were once this way, you are now this. You are now a new creature. Even though you were the filthiest, rotten, no good sinner, just as I was, I'm now a new creature in Christ. And I don't say that lightly, folks. Nowhere will you see me. If you ever get the chance to talk with me wholeheartedly, you'll find out that I'll tell you about my past. I'll tell you what a rotten person I was. But God was so good, and he saved me from that life. I was headed down the pathway of self-destruction. I was a total shipwreck. But God picked me up and cleaned me off. And he now made me a new creature. And he'll do the same for you if you just ask. The life I led, the things I've done, all of the things and the people I've hurt, the only thing I can do is say, listen, you know what, Lord, please forgive me. And he has. God knew me before I was born. He knew me after I was born. He knew what was going to happen with me the moment I was conceived and before that. And you know something else, folks? People say, well, how do you know that that's true? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says that God knew you before you were born. And if the Bible says it, then I believe it. Because if I'm a Christian and I believe that the Bible says that I'm going to get to go to heaven someday, then I have to believe every word of the Bible and not just parts of it. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of the Bible in here is paraphrased, and it's done for total understanding. He gives parables. Parables are these little bits of information that help in those days. Today's world doesn't actually see these parables as helpful. Believe me when I tell you, some of them don't even understand them. But that's because they won't read the scriptures. They won't absorb it like a sponge. Like a little child, when they're a child, they happen to absorb everything that goes on around them so they can learn, so they can learn to walk, talk, ride a bicycle, drive a car, go to work every day, have the knowledge of whatever, to be able to read, to add, to subtract, and what have you. You have to be a sponge to do that. And if you really love Christ, you'd be a sponge to his word. And by doing so, you'll find that God is a forgiving God, that he's a loving God, that he's a merciful God. God knew me before all of this. God knew I was never going to turn out the way I was going. In fact, I had this kind of a thought of remembering my past. And it came to me, it said, do you remember when? And there were a bunch of different issues that came up. Living in fear, I called out to God. even though I didn't live right. Do you remember when you were being drunk and drugged and all of those things, and I didn't know if I was going to make it, and I was calling out to God? All he says is, call out to me. He's a forgiving God. He'll forgive you. He loves you. He loved you before you were born. He loves you now, and he'll love you all the way into eternity. When he called me, and I mean this, folks, I didn't call on God. Just like many people refuse to accept God, or many people don't want to even understand the Bible, God called me. I was just like that. I didn't want nothing to do with scriptures. I didn't want to know anything about it. But he changed me, and he made me see the light, that light that shines my pathway, that light that has led me and kept me all these years. I was not a good person. I did a lot of things I should never have done, just like many of you have done things, be it in rebellious or be it just because of desire or whatever. And you're still doing them, and God still loves you. And he still forgives you. And he'll forgive you as long as you accept the free gift of forgiveness. But I'm telling you, don't use your Christianity for a cloak. Don't go, well, because I'm saved, I can live this way. Or because I know I'm going to heaven, I can go do this. Doesn't matter. God says, no, you're not to do that. In fact, a wise person realizes their wrongs before they do them and then decides they won't do that. I'm not going to do that, and they don't do it. And then they grow, and they grow a little more and a little more each day. Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he hath removed our transgressions from us. And you know, every one of those transgressions that we have, God's faithful and just to take away. Every one of the things we've ever done wrong, we're going to look at Psalm 103, and I'm going to read from verse 1 right to 12. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Never forget the benefits of the Lord, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who, like he did mine, believe me, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He's forgiving, and he'll give you all his mercy. He'll let you go, but he'll always be there. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You see, he doesn't deal with our sins like we think. He doesn't come after us because of our iniquities. He could reward us. He could reward us our iniquities by punishing us every day. In fact, how many times have you looked around and said, how do these people get away with this? They claim to be a Christian and they're doing this and doing that. Imagine if God punished us every time we did something we weren't supposed to. It would be like having a shock collar on us and somebody hitting the button. I'm glad he doesn't do that. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. See, his mercy's great because we fear him. When I was calling out in fear, when I was calling out because things were around me that bothered me, or things that might have happened to me or could happen to me, and I called out, he was faithful and just to protect me and keep me. As far as the east is from the west, so far he hath removed our transgressions from us. Verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Folks, if you don't love the Lord, if you're not searching your scriptures every day, If you're not looking for the word to guide you and strengthen you, how can you feed your soul so you can be protected? How can you know when God's working in your life? You can't know the truth if you're not reading it, if you're not trying to understand it. I read something earlier. It said, when you seek the Lord in all his righteousness, he's faithful and just to give you the desires of your heart. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, Hebrews 9:14, purge your consciousness from dead works to serve the living God. Purge your consciousness. That means take away all those evil thoughts. Stop desiring the things of this world. They're never going to bring you the peace that you desire. They're going to never bring you the peace that you deserve. If you don't think you're good enough, then let the Lord think you're good enough. It doesn't matter how rotten a person you've been. Trust me. God loves you. He'll never leave you. He'll never let you suffer. He'll never send you to hell. You'll never burn in the eternal flame. You'll never have all the pain forever and ever. He has enough love and mercy to save you and keep you. Don't you want that for yourself? Don't you believe that you deserve it? If you'll just call on him today and ask for forgiveness, the only thing that keeps a person from hell is the person's own accepting of that free gift. You either accept it or you don't. The only thing that's going to put you in hell is if you refuse Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. Don't wait any longer. Do it today. Tell the Lord that you accept the gift of salvation. Tell him that you wish for his forgiveness. And tell him that you want to do right. Tell him you want to live like a Christian. Tell him you want to be a good person. Tell him that you love him, that you want him to be in your life, that you want to change today to be the person you should be from this day forward. Thank you for listening to the message today. God bless you. I have another song for you. I hope I made sense with the message. As always, it gets confusing for me. My throat's bothering me a little bit today, and I'm not sure if it's from working outside or if it has to do with my coffee this morning. But whatever, I've got a frog in my throat that doesn't want to go away. And here's my last song. Yes, I know. This is a good song. This is a good song. I think you'll like it. It's going to play throughout right to the end into archives, and I won't be back. So if you have any questions for me, come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on. God bless you, and thank you for being here. Yes, I know. It's by the Gaither Band, folks.
I can make them high.